to tell us who we are and to have that be reflected back to us. I don't know how many of you identify with this snoodle stale, but it is quite profound, the truths that are in it. I know that some of you have experienced healing prayer. Some of you, I think, identify very, very strongly with this story. And in many ways, it reflects my own experience of my Heavenly Father as well. I think we all come to God, or we all do carry these backpacks. And not just words that have been spoken to us, lies that have been kind of pronounced over us, but also lies that we tell ourselves. Ways that we've allowed experiences, even our own sinful habits, to define us. And we carry all of that in our backpacks. But I think for a number of us, we've had this experience of our Heavenly Father where we've begun to reveal to Him some of the stuff that we're carrying, those lies that we've listened to. And I love it how it's portrayed in this story. He's weighed down, little Snoodle is weighed down with so many lies in his backpack, and all of a sudden he experiences this loving Heavenly Father, this Creator that loves him, that is tender, that is kind. And it's in that context he's invited into that place of intimacy, his home. And it's in that place that the Father begins to take these paintings out of his backpack one at a time and look at them. And I love that. He races through the process quite quickly. And I think for some of us who have experienced that healing journey, we wish it was that quick. But little by little, what the Father does is he takes those things out of our backpack and he unfurls them. He looks and he says, and he invites us to look at them. And he says, where did this painting come from? What is this painting referring to? What is this experience here? And he invites us actually to look at those things, as hard and as difficult as that is. And as we are invited into that place of intimacy, and the Father identifying the lies that we've listened to, he then asks us, do you want to continue to live according to this lie, or do you want to live according to the truth? And it's in that place of healing that he then takes that picture, that false identity, and he puts it in the fire. Now, our Heavenly Father is so good. He does not overwhelm us and do all the paintings all simultaneously. That would probably wreck most of us. But he reveals one thing at a time as we're ready to do that. It's beautiful. After this process of him kind of taking every painting out of the Snoodle's backpack, what does he do? He gives him another painting. How the Father sees him. Right? And he puts it in his backpack and he's told to hold that close. What do you think your painting is? What does the Father put in your backpack of the Father and how he looks at you and sees you? Where do we get that from? Well, we get that from God's Word. Ultimately, what does God's Word say about you? And it's not just knowing it intellectually. It's not just reading the Bible like a textbook and going, oh, that's a neat idea. I think by God's Holy Spirit, he then takes those truths and he drives them deeper into our hearts. He wants this understanding, this painting that he paints of us, to be far deeper than just an intellectual understanding. He wants it to be part of our hearts, part of our lives, part of our experience. Last CWG, I gave all of you this little this exercise that we went through. I renounced the lie that my Father God is distant and uninterested, and then we pronounced the truth. I joyfully accept the truth that my Father God is intimate and involved. It's interesting, as I read through this prior to the CWG, and I think my voice kind of quivered even as I got to them at the CWG, there was a couple in here that I felt the Holy Spirit go, oh, there's something around this issue that I want to heal. And that's exactly what we saw in this little story. It's in those areas that really touch our hearts. and surface emotion, that it's a good indicator that the Holy Spirit is going, there's a painting yet that I have not exposed you to or healed. Can we look at that? So for some of us, this was a good exercise because hopefully by God's Holy Spirit, it revealed to you just more of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us concerning our understanding and experience of our Heavenly Father. So I encourage you, how many of you have actually looked at this through this week? That you've maybe put it in your Bible or on your fridge? Right? I encourage us, let's keep looking at this. This is not just a one-time thing. This is something that we need to continue to work at. So what is God, what's the painting that God puts in our backpack that we are to hold close to our hearts? Neil Anderson, in his book, Victory Over Darkness, talks a lot about identity in Christ. And he has something in there called the Who I Am in Christ list. And I know I've given this to you before, and I encourage us to look at it. But this is what God's Word says to you. If you have put your trust in Christ, you know Him, and are journeying with Christ by faith, you are now called a child of God. He has forgiven you. He is now your leader, forgiver, your friend. And this is what God the Father says to you now because you are in Christ. That you are God's child, that you are a disciple, you're a friend of Jesus, you've been justified, you're united with the Lord, you're one spirit with Him, you've been bought with the price, you belong to God, you're a member of Christ's body, you've been chosen by God and adopted as His. You're redeemed, forgiven of all your sins, not just some of them. You're complete in Christ. You have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus. You're free from condemnation. You're assured that God works for all my good in all circumstances. You're free from any condemnation brought against you, that you cannot be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. You've been hidden with Christ in God. You're confident that God will complete the good work that He's begun in you, that you are a citizen of heaven. You've not been given a spirit of pure fear, but a sonship by which you cry, Abba, Father. The list goes on and on and on about who you are in Christ, and that is the truth. So God, by His Spirit, He calls us, He paints this for us in His Word, and He says, hold it close. What does David say in the Psalms? I've hidden God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. The painting. In our backpacks, close to our hearts. Now, I think something we do as children of God, it's pretty difficult for us to come to terms with those things in our backpacks. The lies that have been pronounced over us, the decisions that have been made, maybe the choices we've made in our past. Some of us, our past still haunts us. Our past still rules us. All those things are in our backpack. And that's very difficult for us actually to sit with the Holy Spirit and have Him one by one reveal those things to us and ask us, where did you get this from? And I think for most of us, if God asks us those questions, we just go, no, I don't want to talk about it. And the Holy Spirit's going, no, as we talk about it, I can set you free from those things so they no longer rule you. And I think what we often do as Christians, we actually over-spiritualize our experience. What we do to actually hide from this experience, from hiding from the intimacy of the Father, because it gets too close to us, what do? Well, we read our Bibles. We get really busy spiritually. We do all the things that are expected of us. We have our quiet time. We read our daily bread. We go to church. We do all these things. We come to the cross. As soon as we get an idea that there's still something in our backpack, we quickly go confess it to God, and then we get about our business, and we keep going, and we forget about it. I think we actually bypass that hard work of inviting the Holy Spirit into those things. We fast track that whole journey so that we don't have to look at it. And the Father's going, unless you allow me to look at it, you'll never truly be free from it. So what we do, and I think this is the part that I think is missed in this, because they're trying to simplify this idea. We have this backpack of all this shame and all this guilt and all this stuff, and we don't want to look at it, and we don't want anybody else to see it. So what do? We actually create a false self that everybody sees, and so that we aren't truly known in our core of who we are and the lies that we really believe. So I need three volunteers. We're going to quickly do this. I need three volunteers. So I need two girls. So Luke, you're going to come up. You're going to get wrapped. I want two girls, Alexa and Anna. So come on up. So this is, I'm going to give you a picture of what our church fathers call the false self. I want to just give you a quote by Thomas Merton. He says this. Thomas Merton describes the false self as this winding experiences around ourselves like bandages in order to make ourselves perceptible to myself and to the world as if I were an invisible body that could only become visible when something visible covers its surface. We create these false selves so people see what they see is attractive, it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's impressive, and it actually hides ourselves from the truth and God, and it keeps us from that place of intimacy. So this is a picture of false self. So Luke is going to be the guinea pig. He's going to put his hands like this, and the girls are going to wrap him up really good. I want you to try to cover him from head to toe. Yeah. So wrap him as they wrap him up. Basil Pennington says and suggests that the core of the false self is the belief that my value depends on what I have. So I think what we can do, what this wrapping can be, is the possessions that we own. People can own beautiful houses, lots of toys, a truck, a boat, and everything, and it all looks quite impressive from the outside. And that can actually be, those good gifts can actually become our identity, our false self. Everybody sees the toys and sees the paycheck and all that we have, and they're quite impressed, and we actually believe, wow, they're pretty amazing. They're pretty successful. They're pretty, right? That can actually be the false self. What we have, what I can do. So we can get busy with work, we can get busy with all kinds of things to convince, now that's good, perfect. When I was a kid, let me just give you an illustration, and I think I've shared with this before. There's been other things that the Father has exposed to me, but this is a very simple example. When I was a kid, I believed and listened to some very core lies around my body image. I had people tell me that I was fat, that if I lost weight, I would have more friends. There was those kind of pronouncements put over me, even as grade 4 or 5, there was already this body contempt I had as a young boy. So what did I do? I quickly lost weight. I quickly changed kind of my appearance. And by the time I was in high school, I'd already started weightlifting and working out. All those things were good things. But I was actually doing it for some very, very wrong reasons. I was doing it to, okay, I've got to look this way in order to be loved. And all of a sudden, I turned into from 162 pounds to about 185, 190 pounds, and I was at the gym 5 days a week. I would work, I would ride my bike to the gym, I'd work out for 2 hours. I was OCD when it came to body image It was all driven by pain. So by the time I entered college, I was a pretty buff guy. And my friends would tell me, boy, you, Darcy, you're intimidating. I was spiritually somewhat, at least I presented like I was mature, and people thought I was intimidating. That was their experience of me. My body, how I presented myself, spiritually, physically, it was all intimidating. It kept people at a distance, and they thought I was impressive because of the false self I had created. And God began to peel back the layers and reveal that some of the reasons why I was doing those things was not birthed out of a good, healthy place. And it was actually in my relationship with God the Father that He began to peel back the wrappings. Can you guys just wrap His face?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, can you just let me finish? This will be, I think this is good. You've given us a good illustration. So the wrappings. Nice job, girls. So this is the false self. It doesn't look all that great for us, right? Interesting that I think when we wrap ourselves, we try to create ourselves and be like God ourselves. It just becomes quite distorted. We actually think it looks quite beautiful. We get quite taken by it, but this is, I think, what God sees. When we try to wrap and create ourselves in our own image, try to play God and say, okay, I've got to create then a new self that people will like. This is what actually we do. To the best of our ability, it never looks great. So what does God, by His Holy Spirit, begin to do with the false self? Every once in a while, He gets close and He begins to poke holes. He begins to expose who we really are. But what we usually do when that happens, and this is what I want you to do, Luke, every time God the Father gets close and He begins to expose who we really are, He pokes a hole in our armor, we scream. Ah! Okay, I want you to begin to do that. Or moan, or try to, you know. So the Father gets close, and He just starts to do this. What do you do? Right? Pushing away. It's annoying. It's intimidating, right? We do not want the Father to get close because we're afraid of being exposed for who we are. But the Father, He continues to do that. How does He do that? He usually does it through each of us. He does it through putting people in our lives that annoy us. Because what does that do? It reveals our false self. So you're a perfectionist. Your false self is that you do everything perfect. You have to be perfect. And then someone comes along and they're a bit of a slouch. They're not perfect. They're far from perfect. They mess up everything. And now you're working with them at work or at church and they bug you because nothing is ever done right. You've always got to do it over. And it bugs you. Why does it bug you so much? Because it's poking at your false self. God, by His Holy Spirit, has put someone in your life to agitate you, to reveal your false self and what it really is. You're muscle bound, you're working out, you're super fit. And all of a sudden you're working with somebody and they don't care about their body. They might be super fit and they don't care. They don't even do anything and they still have a six pack. And you're like really bugged by it. Or someone just, they eat garbage. They're just like, they don't really care. It's not a big deal. They take care of themselves, but maybe not to the degree that you, and you, it begins to bother you, and it's bothering you more than it should because it's revealing your false self. God, by His Holy Spirit, pokes holes at your false self through each other, through one another. We're going to talk more about that in the next CWG. So He pokes and we scream. Okay, you can, Well, actually, you can stand there. Can you stand there and just be there for another 2 minutes? And we get defensive. When we get defensive, it actually begins to reveal our false self. Because we are actually working really hard at keeping people at a distance to hide the wounds and the stuff that's going on in our lives. We often can dive into addiction because we do not want to look at our false self. I think for some, anxiety attacks. God starts to get close and starts to begin to point at some of the wounds that maybe we've never been attended to. And man, our body, our emotions go crazy. And often, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes it has to do with our false self. It has to do with what we're hiding. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what, if you just let me in, the anxiety will go. If you can just begin to allow me to look at the paintings and all the stuff that's been pronounced over you, all this stuff will begin to shed off. So God, by His Holy Spirit, He pokes and we just scream and we do all this stuff to try to push Him away. And it reminds me of Bono's statement, and I've said this before, and I won't quote him exactly because there's kids in the room. And last time I quoted him exactly, I got a lot of flack. But Bono's paraphrase of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Do you know what the paraphrase is? Be quiet and let me love you. God speaking. Be quiet and let me love you. He pokes, he's getting close, we're screaming, and he's saying, would you just be quiet? Would you just be still and let me love you? And he presses in and he begins to, and he wants to unravel that false self. So Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. There's a stench in the air. I think when we live this way, we don't smell it. Maybe sometimes we get an idea, but there is a stench of death. There is no life really where there needs to be life and where God wants life to happen. There's a stench of death in the air. And when Jesus comes to Lazarus' tomb, and Scripture says, he looks to heaven and he prays. He says, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. And then he shouts, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. And the dead man came out, hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And what does Jesus say? Unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap him and let him go. And Jesus is still saying that today. He's saying that to you and I. He's saying, and what does he say? He doesn't say to you, because we can't do this on our own. I can't unwrap myself. But who does he say that to? He says that to his disciples. Unwrap him and let him go. It's in fact, he invites all of us into that process. And that's why he calls us into relationship where you and I journey with one another. And as we dare to let each other in and say, you know what? These are the wounds. This is the painting. This is the lie that's been pronounced over me. And as we do that in a safe community, God will use one another, each of us, to begin to unwrap us. God's still in the business of doing that. Girls, could you unwrap this poor young man? He invites us into that process. So let's pray to that end. I encourage you, I'm just going to be quiet for a minute, and I encourage you to just pray. Lord, I'm not aware of my false self, but maybe I have created a false self, and I want to invite you, Holy Spirit, to begin to poke holes. And maybe some of you are already aware. You are already aware of your false self. You're doing all kinds of this because God is getting close, and maybe you need to talk to God about that and say, okay, I'm going to stop pushing you away. I'm going to stop pushing people away. I'm going to invite you into this place. And maybe it's about just asking God for some healing. And where does the healing come? The healing is in regards to our relationship with Him as Father. And as we allow Him in, we're going to experience a part of our Heavenly Father that maybe we've never experienced, that He loves us even at our worst. No matter what's in our backpack, the Father loves you. The Father loves you. He's not impressed with the false self. He sees right through it. And as you expose who you really are, all you're going to experience is your Heavenly Father saying to you, I love you. You're my daughter. You're my son. And I'm proud of you. And you're going to experience more of the intimacy and the love that He has for you. Let's pray.